Hey, Inspire Church Albany, it's Hamish here from Inspire Church Singapore. So amazing to be able to spend a Sunday with you today. We're streaming this service between both churches, and so we just love it. I wish I could get to see you more, and we were planning to be there in July, but unfortunately the world has changed around us. But look, I hope things are going well for you. I know you're pretty much out of lockdown now and you're starting to re-enter the world. We are still fully in our lockdown. It's called a circuit breaker. We've been in it for 2 months. Then in June, people with parents are allowed to visit their parents. But apart from that, you're still not allowed to see friends or family. And that's going to carry on until July. They're going to start looking at opening some shops and smaller groups in July, and hopefully big gatherings will start near the last quarter of the year. But until that happens, we are very much committed to church online, and we're also looking at how to transform the way we do church. When we are allowed smaller groups, how can we do something that is 7 days a week? And that's, you know, as you all know, you have your echo, we call it our heartbeat, but the whole concept that we are better together, that church is beyond Sundays, that we're surrounded in prayer, and that we pursue God and we love people. I think those, as tenets, are so important stepping into the world now, that no matter how isolated and alone we can feel, it's so important that we stay together, that we acknowledge the importance and the power of community, the power of relationship, and that we pursue God, and in every opportunity we try and love people. And so I wanted to share a message today around that. It's going to be called The Steps That We Take, and I hope it's a huge encouragement to you. So look, I want to start today by jumping into Acts 2. And in the time of Acts, church was just beginning. And people were, you know, starting to gather around the Jesus movement and be believers. And the interesting thing in that is many were excommunicated from synagogues, from their communities, from their families. And so they were giving up success in business or familiarity and all of those things to follow him. You know, it was a complete transformation in life. And yet instead of getting overwhelmed by fear or anxiety, when financial uncertainty was on their doorstep, when the uncertainty of friendships and what relationship looked like was very real, rather than being defeated by it, they grew. And if you listen to this, knowing that that's the culture of what was happening, you see that in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. So instead of knuckling down, instead of being overcome by fear or worry, they were actually willing to give. They were willing to pour out of themselves and pour out of what they had for the needs of everyone. So selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Don't you love that? How that moment transformed them from being isolated or cast away from society to suddenly having its favor. Because they were so genuinely poured into it that God couldn't help but move through them. And so they continue in the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That a time that could crush actually grew them. And I see that. I believe that it's no accident that Jesse and Don and myself gathered around this scripture late last year as a blueprint for the echo of the church, as a blueprint for what it could look like stepping into a new era. And we're in a new era, right? We are in a time in human history that we have not been in before. And so I want to pray, and then I want to look at How can we catch the spirit of this for your church and for our church over here? How can Inspire step into this? Thank you, Father, for every single person represented here, every home, every family, every community, every workplace, every school. Help us to carry your presence, help us to carry your peace, and I pray that today you unlock something, that you would turn anxiety into praise, that you would turn fear into faith. And as cheesy as that sounds, Lord, it is what we need. And thank you, Father, that we would step into a place of trust in you and a place in connection as a community, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hey, so as we go into today's message, we're calling it the steps that we take. So I'm going to take you on some steps. I'm going to take you into different rooms and places. And I hope that what happens, where we go, is something transformative. And so enjoy this journey with me. And so as I was praying about this today, I was thinking about the parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25, where he talks about the kingdom of God being like somebody goes away and passes money to different servants, and then they each respond to that according to their capacity. So I'm just going to read Matthew 25:14. Should be behind me, part of it anyway. Again, it will be like a man who goes on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received only 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long while, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents, now of course a talent is a huge amount of money, it's like a year's wages, so they were given a fair amount. He had bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents, see, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share with your master's happiness. Then the man who had received just the 1 talent said, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and I hid your talent. It's in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. So when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him and thrown and that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there is a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know, we often criticize that last bit, but living a life where you don't fulfill your purpose, living a life where you have so much inside you and so much that God has gifted you with, if you were to just bury that, if you were to not allow it to grow and to flourish, then that is a life that's in darkness. It is a life of gnashing your teeth and striving against what you're not called to do, of weeping when you could be, you know, dancing. And there's, I believe, that we have an opportunity to continually step into the purposes that he's called us into. And that in different elements of our life, there are times where we're like the person with the 5 talents, where we walk into a room and it transforms, where we have so much cultural capital, we have so much to give. There are certain strengths some of us carry that, you know, there are people like Jesse's worship and Don's ability to encourage and these things. And you know, with we have these gifts that I have different gifts, and I know that there are times where they are just investing their five talent, and there are times where I'm working with the one talent that I have, and then the other rooms we step into, the roles reverse. And so we have an opportunity now as a church to really look at, what does that look like? What are you called to? Who are you called to be at Inspire? And I believe that God wants to engage every single person to be able to walk into rooms and walk into environments, trusting that He's called them there. And so I want to take you with me, and we're going to have an explore. But it is amazing what God can do in our lives.
If we step into the potential of every single moment, and that's what I want to talk about right now, not the big mountaintops of life, but the mundane moments you find yourselves in day to day. Those moments that you describe as the one talent days, where it seems very little opportunity or very little has come to us. Because actually, as I read the Bible, I see that that's where God seems to focus. That most scripture, when you read it, is not talking about, you know, how to prepare you to raise the dead, how to prepare you to save thousands on a mountaintop, but rather you open any page, like if I turn to say Ephesians 3 and just, you know, have a look at this. I'm going to read Ephesians 3:14, and listen, look, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Okay, so this is huge. For this reason, Paul says he prays, that we may be strengthened with power, you know, that our inner being. So it's a big thing. And we think, okay, then what's the next verse? The next verse is going to be so that we can walk into the world and transform every moment, that we can have our shadow fall on the sick and they'll be healed. But he doesn't go on to say that. He says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay, so that we're in a place of being centered in Christ. And what does that Christ-centeredness bring us to? This for me is the juice. This is the source. This is the good stuff. Listen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. That the significance of this, that his power, that the culmination of faith is that we may grasp how much God loves us. That we can live lives that emulate how much God loves us. That when we're frustrated and when we're going through this life, when we're going through the mundane, when we're going through the days that when you've been in lockdown for 6 weeks seem to just kind of tick along, that our cornerstone, that the center place for us is that we would know the love of God. And that's why our heartbeat, our echo, to pursue God and to love people is so important, because you turn to, you know, 1 John, you turn to so much of what Jesus shared and so much of what this book is based around, that we know and that the world will know him through how we love. That there are moments where you walk into a room and transform it. But there are moments when the simplicity of what you do is to walk in a room and notice that small detail that nobody else does. That person who's not smiling as much as they did yesterday. that piece of somebody's life that's a little fractured or a little broken. And I believe that these moments of noticing is what the Holy Spirit wants to draw us to. That we would see that missing thing in someone's life, that little moment that, you know, your favorite barista, if something's slightly dim in their eyes today than it was yesterday, that the talent, the opportunity, the purpose that God has given you that day, maybe just a smile, maybe to offer some grace and some love, that sometimes when you walk into a room, an act as simple as finally putting the picture up that's been missing for 6 weeks could be the act that changes the entire environment. Going in and noticing that person at church that's sitting one seat further away from everybody else, or that one that you used to see regularly before lockdown or before circuit breaker but isn't there as regularly now. That if we could be like the church in Acts, that meet together so regularly that when somebody's missing, we notice. That we break bread not just out of communion. Okay, people often ask, why don't I do communion regularly? You know, there are some churches that take communion every week. I know Christians who have a spare communion cup and bread always with them in their bag and their car, and that's what connects them closer to God. I believe that the heartbeat behind communion is that we dine together, is that we remember that Christ has given us each other, that through his sacrifice, that through his blood, that through his body, he has drawn us together. His heartbeat is the church, his body, the church. His plan is rooted in who we are together. And so as we're called to walk together, as we're called to love, as we're called, you know, as this word says, to be patient and gentle and kind, to not get angry at what sin that person's done, or what's their lifestyle, or what's their background, or did you see how they reacted to that, and did you see how their eyes lingered in that too long, rather than to look for the best, to see what God sees in them, to see where we may discount people, how God has counted them. That as we learn to be a church, again, that gathers, we've gone from our separate homes, we've been given this opportunity to be a part. As the world starts to come together again, I want us to be intentional in how we build this. At the moment we're meeting, well, at the moment in Singapore, we're still meeting completely digitally. And over in New Zealand, you guys are gathering together in your homes now in what, groups of 10. Be intentional in that. Listen. Listen to each other. You know, I heard a story about Bill Clinton once, that with all of his faults, one thing he could do excessively well is focus on people. If you were talking to him, you were the only person in the room. I think it was Rick Warren was sharing the story that when he met with Bill Clinton, they were talking and Bill went to take a drink of water. And as he was drinking, he could see Bill's eyes straight through the bottom of the glass, just bearing down on his soul, drinking and everything. Imagine if we could have that focus as we connect again as a church. That as we show intentionality and build relationships that are based on something more than, is this friendship going to serve me? But based on how God has drawn us together and what our purpose is, then we start to fulfill something new. He has such a plan for the church, and he has such a plan for you within the church that I can't wait for it. And I've got to be honest, life is more filled with the one talent days than it is filled with the multi-talent, you know, five talent days, where he's got you with miracles just flying out of everywhere. And there are those moments, you know, there are rooms where you hang a picture, and there are rooms when you do this.
so much fun. And here's the thing, sometimes we're in a room and we feel like the only thing we can do is pick up a picture, and other times, hey Soph, we can walk into a room and we completely transform it. And that's the thing with our lives, that there are times where God's called us to have a small but significant part, and other times where he causes us to shine. And that's the whole thing about being better together. That's, hello.
Hello.
We're better together. super cheesy. But that's the whole thing about our echo and our heartbeat as a church, that we are growing together, that we need community, that we're knitted together. I was hoping by using this illustration that it helps speak to you about the different rooms, the different steps you're taking as you step out of lockdown, as we look at what church looks like now, that you are open to being used in your different capacities. There are rooms where you feel like all you can do is hang the picture, but that need, that tip that you gave somebody, even though New Zealand isn't a tipping country, that coffee you bought for that person, that smile you offered, that intentional patience, positivity and love that you stepped into your day with, makes that incredible difference. And in the same way, being aware of the rooms where you do have the large capacity, where you're able to, you know, like with the mural, transform that room and that environment. I want you to know that you are called, and that you are essential. And in this season in the church, take some time now, we're going to pray, to allow God to speak to you about what is your next step in the church, to get more involved, to go into the programs and the courses and the life groups that are already existing and actually be a thriving part of the church like they were in Acts 2, where they threw themselves in, and instead of being disowned and cast away like the church had been, they suddenly were together and now getting the favor of all the people. That this is a hard time, but a hard time is not a time to withdraw. It's not a time to go into your own strength or into your own weakness. It's a time to be surrounded, and you're so fortunate in the church you have. And so in this time, allow God to minister to you. Allow your life group, allow your pastors to minister to you. Allow yourself to not be dictated by lack or by loss, because you will get through. There are opportunities here, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you. And so I want to pray and just invite you to step in and see church in a new way. See your life within this community in a new way, and go, excuse the phrase, but go balls to the wall. Just go for it. You know, go hard or go home, and let's see transformation happen. Thank you, Father, for every single person represented in this place, in these homes, wherever they are. I pray you fill these rooms with love. You fill these places with your spirit, with your presence, with faith. You help us to be aware of you and aware of our next step where we are. Thank you, Lord. Hey, if you don't consider yourself a person of faith, if you feel that this whole season has made you more distant, I want to invite you to put your hands in front of you, just in front, and I want to invite you to pray a prayer. It's one word. All of those who are with me at the moment, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray to see increase. Now the word is yes. I'm not asking you to identify yourself as a Christian or a member of the church. I just want you to say yes. Just say yes to God at home, wherever you are, and allow him to take you on your next step. This may be a thing of identifying yourself in him and growing in him. Maybe you're saying yes to a next step in what you want to pour out in the church. You know, meeting the needs of others, meeting the financial needs as a community. We never want to be under compulsion. We never want to do things that are dishonest to where we are. but let's allow where we are to be a step forward and not a step back. Okay, thank you, Lord, for every single need represented in this place. I pray that you surround and that you fill every person and that you lead us on our next step. So we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I speak right now against any thoughts or emotions around anxiety, around fear, and around doubt. You would help us to walk through. You would help us to walk to the other side of it in Jesus' name. Help us to be aware of your spirit and your life and your love as we grow in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it was amazing being a part of your service today, Albany. We love you. Hoping to get there at Christmas. Don't know if we'll be allowed out of the country yet. Lockdown's pretty full on, but we'll see. Hey, we love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We pray that you would activate something in your life and shift your life towards Jesus. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, just click follow. We love you. Have a blessed week.